Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This is the best of WIP.
Max Kepler, come on down.
Well,
he's better. We need him.
Let me just say this. When I saw the news that the Phillies had another one-year, $10 million guy, was like, it just reminded me of the Sixers, how with Joel, when he was in his prime, it felt like every year they would cycle through new players trying to find the right match.
Yeah.
You know, like, here's Danny Green, here's PJ Tucker, here's this guy, here's that guy.
There's another season
with not a
great outfield.
Danny Green was a good match for a little bit.
Yeah, when he played for Toronto and beat the Sixers. So this dude, outstanding defensively, big bat from a power standpoint, but low batting average, low on base percentage, and high strikeout situation. And so it follows in line, a different type of player than Kepler. And I'm going to put both corner spots, Kepler and Whit Merrifield and Austin
Hayes.
The one-year
deal guys, so to speak, or the trade with the expiring contract guys or whatever.
So, James, is this guy going to be better than those guys?
Maybe.
that's a maybe. No.
I mean, look, he's had one great year in 2023. He was elite. You know, he had close to 40 homers, was awesome in the playoffs.
Wow.
I think he was the ALCS MVP. He was awesome for that year. And he's never come close to that. You know, they need power. I've talked about that a lot. I like adding a guy.
Oh, he's legit power.
He's got power.
So what was the difference that year?
And he's. I don't know, man.
I don't know,
it happens. We see that in baseball sometimes where guys just have this massive year and it kind of never get back to that level. To your point, Joe, he is a really good right fielder. He's got a hose, which will be fun. It's been a while since we could see someone gun someone down from right field like that. But it's a flyer. It's another 1 year hopeful. Like he's turning 33 in March, so you know he's kind of heading towards the other
like
side
the
of the age curve. He fits
perfect.
The roster perfectly. You're hoping he comes in and he's motivated on a one-year deal and, you know, you get some pop and you get some good right field. But, you know, it's a flyer. It's a hopeful.
So let me read you the home run titles starting in 2021. And then I'm going to get to a different category. Home runs. And these are impressive numbers. Home run totals from 21 on. 31. 27, 39, 25, 19. I mean, those are impressive totals. But then let's get to this reality. Career batting average, 237. Now, there's a lot of 237 hitters in baseball these days, much to my chagrin. But the hope is, okay, walk a lot and get on base a lot. Not really. Career on base percentage, 293. If you're below 300, that is sub-frickin' standard.
It's bad. I mean, that's really bad.
Well, we can work on that approach.
He's 33. One thing I will say, he even last year when he was bad, he hits the ball hard. You know, like he's got, love the phrase, exit velocity and all that. Like he does hit the ball hard. So there are things you can point to as positives.
Yeah. And he's an energy guy, right?
Yeah.
Like when he's on, he's
definitely
high
got, yes, absolutely. And again, look. We're talking about this team they're in the what are you going to do in the playoffs. We're going to have fun with the season, but like ultimately what they do in the playoffs is what matters for this team.
Yeah.
This is at least a guy, unlike Kepler, who has come through on the biggest of stages, has had massive moments in the playoffs. So at least that is something you can point to.
Well, the other thing is it is different. Like people want it different. They want it, you know, not running
back. New blood, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. Does this
impact
Bader?
Castellanos.
I think it's less likely they, but I think that I think Bader's probably gone regardless.
I did
but,
so.
You know, yes, I think it impacts it a little, but I think if Bader were in a price, they could,
well,
could
and
work.
And
they
Gelb said they're still interested, and you know there's right. dominoes falling.
It's all about the market.
Signing,
you know?
Yeah, and yeah. I don't think he's going to get what he thought he was going to get.
I'm just concerned, does this $10 million instead of a $4 million player make it harder to get Bader? Yeah, that's essentially where I'm driving
that. That would be a big no-no.
All right, let's talk to our buddy, Mr. Ruben Amar. Ruben, good morning.
Good morning.
How
Sorry
are you, pal?
I was tardy.
It's okay.
It happens.
Tardy's a good word, man.
Tardy.
Yeah.
Tardy sauce.
My
nephews tardy. Say tardy sauce. What's with the tardy sauce?
I love tartar sauce. I had too much. I wish I liked it less.
Yeah, well.
So, Rube, what can you tell us about the Phil's new right fielder?
Wait, forget it.
I love the idea of what he can bring to the table. Obviously, they've lacked a little power from the right side. He has that. I know it's been an off year or a year and a half or so for him, and he has not been as effective as far as his offense is concerned, but he's an outstanding right fielder, excellent arm, one of the best arms in right field in the game. So automatically you get a little bit better in that area. But, I mean, the point is to try to get a right-handed bat with some pop and a little bit more diversity there in your lineup. I like the idea. It's, you know, low risk, high reward. I say low risk, $10 million. That's low risk for, I guess, Middleton and the percentage of the payroll. But I think that they still have some flexibility there. A lot of it will depend on what happens with JT. And they got to get that wrapped up somehow.
Yeah.
Some way.
So one of the things I wonder about with Garcia is, because this has now been it's going to get to year four, a quest to find a four-hole hitter. So you go back to 2022, Reese was the main guy, and he was the guy protecting Bryce.
Yep.
But you also had a younger JT as an option, you had an up-and-coming Bohm as an option, and you had a younger Castellanos as an option. And the reality is all three of them, while Bohm's been the best hitter of those three, all three have not been what any fan would want to have for a team trying to win a World Series as a cleanup hitter at those various stages of their career. I mean, put simply, Alec Bohm just doesn't hit enough homers. He just doesn't. So I ask this question, Rube, because there's probably not going to be a ton of moves with this lineup, and I don't think Bohm's going to net you in a trade a cleanup hitter. So is Garcia, with all this thump in his bat, but about a 300 on-base percentage,
right,
is he the new four-hole hitter?
He's not necessarily. I think it's going to be a rotation. I think
you're
going
to back
find,
to Bohm if he's on the team?
So you're back to Bohm, JT. When you're talking right-handed bats, JT, Bohm, and Adolis Garcia. And I think it'll depend on who's hot. If someone's hot, they'll slide him in there because he'll create some protection.
Well, typically, Bohm, I'll just say this, using last year as an example, Bohm gets the nod the most.
I think Bohm gets most of the reps at the four hole. He can drive in runs. He puts the ball in play. He's probably not as scary when you talk about driving in, you know, three runs,
right,
you know, driving, hitting a home run. But he can hit some doubles, obviously. And, you know, you'd love to see him have more power because it's in there. It just doesn't play. But, I mean, listen, it's still a really good team, and a lot of it will depend on how they handle both Harper and Schwarber. Schwarber and Harper might flip in this lineup so that they can give Harper some more protection, like Harper provided for Schwarber last year, and that dynamic is really interesting.
Well, that's the other thing. They could go to Schwarber and just do the lefty-lefty thing, Harper, Schwarber. They could put Harper too, but he never seems to want to hit too. I mean, by the way, if you do that, you don't really have a three-hole hitter. You know, like, to me, look, here's one thing I know about Philly's history. The two times they've won the World Series, it's been Schmitty and the Bull, in whatever order they were hit, 3 and 4, and obviously at various times they switched, and it was Chase Utley, Ryan Howard.
It was, yes, yeah, typically.
It was like thump, yeah. thump, thump, thump. Yeah. And this one has been Harper thump, and then no thump.
Yeah.
And I think it's been one of the biggest, most underrated storylines of the last 3 years with the Phillies.
So
that they've really lacked there.
Yeah, so the thump has been moved. So in baseball now you've moved the 3-4 hitters have been moved to 2-3.
Yeah.
And so that's where your thump is. But you still also have to have somebody to protect. We had Jason Wirth protecting. We had Pat Burrell protecting, the big piece. When you have that kind of protection behind them, that makes him much more effective.
Dude, I'd die to have Jason Wirth hitting six in this lineup.
Of course.
Oh. Jason Wirth would be fourth.
He'd be batting fourth.
Yes.
He'd be batting
yes.
fourth behind them.
Jason yeah. Wirth would have been their second best hitter last year after Schwarber.
Right. So that is the issue. And, you know, listen, Bohm has had some pretty good years. He had back-to-back, 90-plus RBI years. I mean, he's not a slouch.
No, he's
like
not a slouch.
You'd like to have Mount more out of
but
him.
But he's not a cleanup hitter.
He's not a cleanup hitter.
But he's just not a cleanup hitter.
I think he's more of a five, if somewhere between five, six, and...
He's a six or so.
And Ruben, yeah, six or about, two. Yeah. What about the fact that he can be a head case? What about the fact that it might be a better team if we don't have his inconsistent, is he in it or not, which tends to happen with him?
It does happen. But I think, you know, you just got to hope that he becomes more mature. New year, more mature. That's you know, he gets a little...
Is that because he just won't fetch enough? Listen, because everyone have else knows that he's got this stuff going on where you don't know where he stands through the season?
I'd rather have a Alec Bohm who actually cares and wants to do well than someone who's just kind of cruising through it like a Travis Lee. I mean, I just, you know... This guy actually wants to be good.
Yeah.
And so when he struggles and he has, you know, he's one of those perfectionists. A lot of guys have trouble with, you know, dealing with not being successful, and you're not successful a lot in baseball.
Rich, I think I dislike the resolution in the outfield, if it is a resolution.
Oh, it's resolution.
Because
I figured you would.
Where's Harrison Bader?
Not here.
But when you spell... The numbers. When you spell the numbers, none of them contain the letter A until you get to 1,000.
What do you mean when you spell the numbers?
Spell the numbers. One, two, three. You don't use the letter A, a really common letter, until you get all the way to 1,000.
That's a really good fact.
That is a good fact.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
That's good.
It's like all the numbers. You can spell them all.
That's pretty crazy.
That is
without
interesting.
The A.
Does that include the partials?
Well, obviously not, because half would have an A in
That's what I'm asking. Well, yeah. I mean, half's not a number. So like a number would be 1.5.
Well, then it probably would, because all these numbers don't have A's in them until you get to 1,000.
Okay. 1,000th of one.
Yeah. There you go. You got it.
All right. 215-592-9494. Good fact. A fact that I know is going to disappoint a lot of people is Harrison Bader is not going to be a Phil. So let's get into this. There's really two ways to go about this. One, and look, we haven't started a show with the Phillies in about 2 months, since a few days after they were eliminated. And so certainly the Eagles totally on the table. We're going to have all sorts of guests related to the Birds. We'll get into the injury situation, who is injured, who's not injured. A lot of interesting stuff with the Eagles, and they're certainly, as always, on the table. But let's lead with the Phils for the first time in about 2 months, because we got a pretty big announcement from Dave Dombrowski yesterday. He didn't say it this way, but he basically announced Harrison Bader ain't coming back. So, of course, the Phillies get the new outfielder. It was just 2 days ago they get Garcia. And he announced, that's Dave Dombrowski yesterday, that Justin Crawford's going to be basically a starter, and use the word set, to describe the outfield, which means no Harrison Bader, which means they chose a one-year guy in Adolis Garcia instead of what is probably going to be a two- or three-year contract for Harrison Bader. And as soon as I heard it, the first person I thought of was Mr. John Ritchie, biggest fan of Harrison Bader. And look, we were all big Bader fans. The guy came in and played really well for 2 months and a week and got injured, and we'll never know what would have happened if he had not gotten injured. John, I turn to you and everyone today at 215-592-9494, because there's an overall offseason conversation I want to have, which involves Schwarber, which involves the pending JT, which involves the whole team, the Bohm and the Stott and what to do and blah, blah, blah. But then there's the specific outfield, and John Ritchie, no Harrison Bader. Sir, your thoughts?
I struggle with this concept. I don't like it at all. I'm trying to be positive, you know, because it's finally, hey, Justin Crawford, you know, wow, Justin Crawford,
we had
finally.
Waited. Yeah, we had waited, yes.
You know, we got movement there. We got Justin Crawford in center field. But, I mean, man, I'm so disappointed, and I feel like we're going to be missing out on so much personality, so much, I don't know, the throw
you know, the care and caution to the wind attitude sometimes over the course of all these games.
Which a lot of us felt his team needed.
Off.
You know, needed a different sort of
they
something.
Needed his just, hey, let's not worry about it quite so much, laissez-faire attitude. And it's they'll miss him. I'll miss him. I think we'll all miss him. And sure, I'm excited for the opportunities for Justin Crawford and for, you know, Garcia. I'm, you know, hoping he has the power we are told.
He'll have power. He'll have power. The question is whether
I'm hoping he actually puts the bat on the ball enough.
They're going to get on base enough.
I'm hoping the defense is as much an improvement as we're told, you know, as big an upgrade as we're told, because we all know that has sort of been the mark of what's made our team better. You know, way back when, it was a really tough decision to say bye-bye to Rhys Hoskins, but man, you know, now it was the right decision.
Well,
and at the time, it was in large part, based on the defensive decision. We are not as good a defensive team with him on it.
Right.
So let's upgrade on that side.
And here's what I'll say about when they moved off of Rhys. Because, look, there's a lot of layers to all this, and I want to hear from you at 215-592-9494. The reality of moving off of Rhys is, I think, looking back on it, neither side of the ledger would have worked. Bringing Rhys back, he's breaking down. And so I think they were right to move on, but who they went to, which was essentially Rojas when you connect the dots, because they moved Harper to first base, they moved Schwarber permanently to DH, and they said, hey, we're giving this young, explosive, athletic Rojas, and when I say explosive, not with power, but with speed and defense, Rojas got the shot in center field, we're moving Marsh to left, that whole thing they did, like the Rojas part of it didn't work. So here we are again with another moment in Philly's history where they had a decision. And they also have a wariness, and I want to be very clear here, because they spend an incredible amount of money, but they have a wariness to spend more. Like, they spend a ton, but they don't spend Dodgers. They spend a ton, but they don't spend traditional Yankees. And so this, to me, is in many ways the effect of when you go in on Trey Turner and you get a good player, very good player, but not an exceptional player. You understand what I'm saying? Like, because to me, when you have two $300 million players, and the Phillies have two $300 million players, not to mention, and I don't know if he still is, but as of last season, the highest paid pitcher in baseball for an individual season was Zach Wheeler. You know, he's got it's not a long contract, not an Aaron Nola contract, but it's a high contract, plus the Nola contract, plus some other guys, and now Schwarber. So, you know, when you sign up for guys like Trey Turner, at least I know, some people might not put this together, there's an effect down the road because the Phillies don't spend traditional Yankee or modern day Dodgers money. And so the effect is that they say, we're not going Bader 3 years, whatever that's going to turn into, 30 or 45 million. We're going to go with Garcia 1 year, 10 million. And then you just cross your fingers and hope that he's better than Max Kepler. And so here we go again. 215-592-9494. Let me address this.
I like
John. I think you hit something important. So for about a year, people have been clamoring for Crawford. And you're going to get him. And I think it's the right decision. Because the reality is, in order to keep this going, you need a new generation of players. And you need younger players that are cheap. And this guy's going to be cheap for a while to hit. And I don't mean hit the baseball. I mean to hit as a player. Rojas didn't hit. And so they've been scrambling for about 3 years now. And so now they turn to Crawford and Marsh in left field. One of my concerns with all this is the reliance on Marsh. I think when I peel the onion back on this outfield, because let me give you an example. Dave Dombrowski was asked about the outfield yesterday. And one of the things that really concerned me, the first name he said was Marsh. And in the last couple years, he'd normally be like the third name you hear. And so now Marsh is maybe supposed to be your best outfielder. I don't love that. Let's listen to Dave Dombrowski yesterday.
I guess in your mind, what makes this outfield a better or an improvement, I guess, maybe off of last year's unit, especially maybe the way you ended the season there with the combination you had for the last 2 months?
Well, I mean, it's a situation that we like the players. We think Brandon Marsh is a good player, particularly when you he hasn't taken the next step versus left-handed pitching. We've talked about that. Will he do it? I'm not sure. But we do like Otto Kemp. We think when we look at ourselves that that's one of the best combos in left field if you look at the two of them. Adolis, we think it helps us in right field. It gives us an improvement there. And we think Justin's going to be a good player. We'll just but again, with young players, you have to give them the opportunity. And people may say, well, this versus that, and he's not as good as this versus that. But until you put him out there, you really don't know. But we think he's going to be very good. We think he's going to be a really good player. He has some real speed to our ball club. He makes contact. Just a lot of good things about him.
All right, so look, we'll take your reaction at 215-592-9494 on this configuration of the Phils. James, how should people feel about this outfield and what it represents within this offseason and a team trying to get a title?
Not awesome about it. Like, I think that they are in a situation where I agree with you. I think bringing up Crawford and letting him play, and he's going to have some lumps probably, but you got to do it. Like, this, the way this roster is structured with all these high-priced guys heading into their mid to late 30s in these contracts, you are going to have guys come up and supplement that. It's the only way this thing could possibly work.
I totally agree.
So I'm fine with them bringing Crawford up, but I also am not sure that Justin Crawford's going to step in at 23 or whatever he is and be a quality major league player. I think it's going to take time. I don't know that he's a center fielder. The Marsh Kemp left field, sure, that's fine. You know, I just think that by the way,
it might not be fine.
Joe, if this is the outfield, if what Dave is saying is true, and you never know, but it seems like it is.
Yeah.
Then they have to do something in the infield. Like, they have to go sign Alex Bregman, or this is not going to be okay.
I don't think they're going to.
Like, it's possible, but I don't think they're going to. But that's my point. Like, if Adolis Garcia and some also-rans are the move, like, it's going to be a problem for this team in this city. Like, people are going to be furious. People aren't going to be in.
Is this a big disappointment?
Oh, it's a massive disappointment because you're basically going into another season with more questions in the outfield than answers. The same thing when you asked me last year, can this team win a World Series? I'm like, not with this outfield. Justin Crawford, we don't know if he can play center field. Probably he's a left fielder, but you've got Marsh there. Marsh is the only like known quantity we know.
And he's only a partial player.
He said he's with
Otto Kemp.
I read a lot more into the bulk of Marsh's 3.5 years with the Phillies now than I do into the half year this past year when he played really well.
Not to mention the playoffs. Like, who cares what he does in the regular season at this point? We know that he's a bad playoff performer.
And here's the other thing I'll say. Dombrowski specifically said we view Marsh and Kemp as one of the, I think he said either one of the or the best combos in left field. Well, Barry Bonds wasn't a combo for what it's worth. He was just the left fielder.
Just the left fielder.
There's a lot of teams in baseball and competing teams that have a better left field situation by just having one player.
Here's a hope I have that this is public posturing.
It's not really.
Oh, no, I know.
I don't buy it.
It's my hope because Bader hasn't gotten what he's wanted, which was, I think Salisbury said 3 years, $45 million. So maybe if he takes 2 years, because you can't do that. And that was my concern with giving Schwarber. I just said it could be. You know, John, you and I are on the same boat here. We both want him back.
Everyone has dismissed it as an impossibility.
Signing Schwarber to that big deal is leading to other things that you can't afford certain players.
Well, that's the thing. So the Schwarber contract, the Nola contract, the Harper contract, the Turner contract.
Zach Wheeler.
Yeah. I mean, you get to a point where, again, we've gotten to a point with the Phillies a couple times in their history where there'll be a fourth or fifth payroll team, but never a first payroll team. Yeah. And this is what you're met with. Yesterday was an example.
This is
of
every
that.
Year, but I don't know. It feels like monopoly money to me. Every year we're fourth or fifth.
Right. I mean, and that's excellent, but it's not. Like, you lose Bader when you're not the Yankees of 25 years ago. That's my point. If you're the Yankees of 25 years ago, then you say, I've got Bader, and I got this guy, and I got that guy, and I'll have them all. And that's not what the Phillies do. Look, 215-592-9494. Give us your impressions of the Phillies offseason so far. Who's been in? Who hasn't gotten in? Who's not getting in? You know, one of the things
Bader
that killed...
Bader was a piece of the leadership. You know, Bader was an important piece in the positivity puzzle.
Yeah, but
for
I will say this. We have asked for different, and Garcia and Crawford, it's different.
I wanted Crawford.
And by
up,
the way, Crawford is probably going to be the fastest. He's probably going to be the fastest regular Philly.
I don't mean a guy.
Got to get on base.
I don't mean a guy like Roman Quinn who couldn't get on base. Yep. James, fastest Philly since young Jimmy Rollins?
Yeah, well, Trey's fast too. Like when Trey's moving, Trey's really. But he's that. Like Justin Crawford will come up and be one of the fastest players in the sport the moment he steps on the field.
I can't wait.
So they are going to be different from that. I mean, Garcia and Crawford, it's a different.
That's going to be super cool.
He better get on base.
Harrison Bader was a guy that fellas like gravitated to. The team could, you know, lean into him once in a while when things got a little too tense.
Yeah, but
hey, chill out a little.
There is this on Crawford, though, and for those that don't know, it has to be said, because he doesn't have much power. The guy did hit 340 last year in the minor leagues. I mean, it's not often a guy hits, I think it was 343, and like doesn't get brought up.
Yeah.
Like it's time. 215-592-9494. Your impressions of what Dombrowski has done, what he hasn't done, what he said yesterday. We'll play a lot of audio of Dave Dombrowski from yesterday and your impressions of how it lays out. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. I could do some rhyming here. We saw Harrison Bader.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And a lot of people wanted him back. I'm not rhyming my words. I'm rhyming mixed words.
There we go, yes.
Didn't see a red door. I saw a red Bader in red pinstripes. A lot of people wanted him back. He gone. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, AMA today at 7. So you ask, we answer. Questions from Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Make them some good, fun, creative questions. We'll have some fun with AMA coming up at 7 o'clock today. Also, Eagles injury report from yesterday. Now, this was one of those times where the Eagles held a walkthrough, not a traditional practice. So what you get is an estimation of who would and would not have practiced if it was a full-on practice.
But they have to be as accurate as humanly possible.
They do, by the letter of the law. This. Yeah.
So you and I were jumping to conclusions when we asked questions.
No. You know why?
Well, because
I asked Nick Sirianni, is he going to practice? He won't answer. So this is why we both assumed. I don't jump to conclusions.
We both assumed he was injured. Well, let me just say on the injury report.
Yeah, let me just say for what I wanted to get at is Hurts is not on the injury report. So you're
which
right, John.
Which is good.
Which is good.
Yeah.
What was notable is Saquon is for a stinger.
You saw him on the sidelines moving his neck around, but he did come back in, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And also Cam Latu had his stinger.
Yeah,
those things are not good.
Now, Rhea, in all due respect to Cam Latu, I care a little bit more about Saquon's stinger.
I care about Cam Latu being out on the field way more than Calcaterra.
I know you do.
I used to get a stinger every
time
I hit someone. Every time.
What did it feel like, burning?
And every time someone would hit me on the helmet afterwards and be like, good job, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please.
Could you
no
not?
More.
That's classic, man. All right. So Hurts not on the injury report. Saquon was with a stinger, and they estimated he would not have practiced if they had a real practice. All right. Coming up in a minute to the calls on the Eagles, on the Phillies this offseason. What are you making, no Bader? All that up ahead in 1 minute.
The Birds are trying to end the season strong, but for Philly homeowners, the game plan isn't for winter because winter is already here. We can feel it, and those old windows are letting the cold blitz right into your home. The call, it's simple. You've got to stop the cold from sacking your wallet. The defense that is a new set of high-quality windows from my friends at Window Nation. And right now, save 50% off all window styles during their massive end-of-year sale. 50% off. It's incredible. Plus, their execution is flawless. A full window replacement in just one day. One day. You know what stops a lot of people, though, especially this time of year? It's the budget. With holiday spending right around the corner, we have good news for you. Window Nation's special financing is as nice as a Hertz deep ball touchdown. You could get 0% financing for 5 full years. I'll say it again. 0% financing, 5 full years. It's an unbelievable deal. Get a warmer home this winter with a low monthly payment. Don't wait. Get your free estimate today at windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
All right, let's get the phone calls going. 215-592-9494. Tom in Deptford. What's going on, Tom?
You're actually going to try to sell me Otto Kemp and Marsh. I mean, haven't we seen this? I mean, I don't get it. And listen, I mean, the problem is if what's his name was so good, why didn't they bring him up towards the tail end of the season when they expanded the roster? I mean, that's what I would have done. If you really want to test the guy, why didn't they bring up Crawford then? Because you throw him right in the mix and you see if he's got it or not.
Well, Tom, to be fair on a couple fronts. First off, you had Bader. So what you'd be talking about at Crawford at that point is a bench player. Sure.
That's the biggest thing, I think.
It's a consideration right. for a young guy who hasn't played it to jump into the postseason. But it's also a tough spot. I mean, there's a difference between, hey, your first game's April 1st and your first game's September 15th.
With a pennant race and all that type of stuff. And also, again, he's 21 now. I was wrong by year. He's 21 today. Like, that's really
Happy
young.
Birthday.
Like, no, I mean, I'm saying it's not his actual birthday. Saying he turns 22 in January. The point is, he will be one of the youngest players in baseball when they start the year next year. One of the youngest in the sport to start the year already.
If you got talent, you come up and you play, okay? Harper started when he was like 17. So 19. The ages are irrelevant to me.
Tom, look, I will just say this. You know enough to know that there's not that many 21-year-olds that play Major League Baseball and play it well. I mean, you got to admit that. I mean, come on.
But Joe, you think enough of them now to be a starter?
So
right
last
now?
Year, just doing quick reference, last year, if the season were the start of last year, Justin Crawford would have been the fifth youngest player in Major League Baseball last year to start the season.
Play so much. That's what I'm saying to you. I just believe right now is you had a chance to sign a guy, okay, who brought energy on a team, okay, just like Rhea said, that team needed that. They were lacking such a spark and such. Okay,
Tom, to be fair, though, Bader gave him a spark and got hurt in the first playoff game. I mean, we can't ignore that they did make a move there. It was working, and the guy got hurt in the first freaking playoff game. That was a crushing injury.
I know it was, but I'm just saying, I think they should have signed the guy. I really do. I think they could have brought him back on a 2-year contract. He probably would have came back with 2 years. That's probably what he's going to sign.
Look, if we find out, Tom, it's a 2-year deal, I'll be disappointed. If it's a 3-year deal, I'll understand more.
But don't sell me Otto Kemp and Marsh. I've seen that. I've seen that story, and I know what the ending is.
All right, listen, okay, Tom, good call, man. I mean, really good call, passionate call. Look, the Kemp stuff,
Tom's fired up.
I don't like it either. And by the way, for Crawford, I'm just trying to figure this out while we're talking. If he was going to be on the playoff roster, it would have been instead of, what, Weston Wilson last October?
Probably, something like that.
Because he wanted to replace Sosa, so I think Wilson was the extra outfielder, I believe.
Wilson is still here, Joe, so, you know.
215-592-9494. Look, that guy's fired up. I think a lot of
also,
people.
I feel like another than Crawford, a left-hander too. They needed a righty off the bat. Like it just didn't make as much roster sense. You know what I mean?
And they also stacked that extra pitcher on there, which also became controversial once the wheel play happened, and you realize you didn't have anyone off the bench that could really fly.
What? I'm glad that the two of you brought that to the table, because at least it got me to just take a deep breath for a second here and smile, because, you know, I wasn't smiling yesterday when I wasn't at work. Well, because I was listening to you guys, and you and TK did a good job yesterday, and part of the show,
T in the building,
he did a good job. I was listening to you guys talk about the Philly situation, right? And yesterday, Dombrowski spoke, and they introduced Adolis Garcia, and in a vacuum, Adolis Garcia's fine. Like, he's fine, right? He's had a pretty good career. He's been a big October player a few years ago to help the Rangers win a World Series. And if we're looking for an upgrade over Nick Castellanos, he probably is an upgrade over Nick Castellanos. So I'm cool with that. But Hugh, as we add this whole thing together, it's almost Christmas. And when I heard Dombrowski speak yesterday about the Phillies, You know what sense I got? The sense I got yesterday, as you put your mic back on, is see you in Clearwater, guys. My work here is done. We'll see you down in spring training. And if that's the case, it's not good enough. I'm frustrated with this Phillies offseason. And I say that clearly knowing that last week they spent a lot of money on Kyle Schwarber. And I'm glad he's back. I wanted him back. He was the number one guy I wanted to bring back. But Hugh, I look at this team, and I don't think they've done enough this offseason, even assuming that they're going to bring JT Realmuto back. I look at the team and say, all right, they're the same at catcher. They're the same at first. They're the same at second. They're the same at short. They're the same at third. They're slightly better in right. I have no idea what we're going to get out of a rookie, Justin Crawford. I'm excited to watch him. He was a first-round pick. He comes from pedigree. His dad was a heck of a player, and he could be a good player, but he wasn't even good enough to get up here at all last year, and now he's just being anointed the center fielder, and we're doing the Marsh thing all over again in left field. It doesn't feel good enough. And I would love for the Phillies to act like the Eagles act, which is never be satisfied, never think the roster is good enough, always try to get a little bit better. And I watch this offseason and I see a big old shrug of the shoulders from Dave Dombrowski. Oh, well, we're pretty good. We'll see you in spring training. It's not good enough for me. The Phillies are going to lose Ranger Suarez. They basically say goodbye to Harrison Bader yesterday. And I'm struggling to see how they're better entering next season if this is the team they have. Hugh, where are you at? Because I am frustrated with this Phillies offseason. I don't think they've done enough. And I think they're too content. Oh, we're good. We'll be fine. We'll see you next spring training.
That's a good question, Joe. I feel like part of the reason why they haven't said a whole lot is because most of the moves that they could potentially make are in-house. You know, there was some talk about, you know, Baum being traded last year.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like that might still be on the table. JT's out of here. Not JT.
Ranger.
Castellanos.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Castellanos is out
Castellanos
here.
JT is the most out of here you could be still under contract.
As far as JT is concerned, I think you have to re-sign him because you really don't have any backup for him. You don't have any plan B for him. So I think that most of the moves that they're talking about potentially making or can make, you have to make the in-house moves first. So that's probably why he said what he said. He's playing it close to the best.
Yeah, Hugh, I hope you're right, but I don't know, man. Dave Dombrowski, for the most part, has not been a super aggressive Phillies general manager or your president of baseball operations. They've had a lot of off seasons kind of like this one. We'll bring our guys back, and then we'll just kind of hang out and see what happens. I mean, 2 years ago, Whit Merrifield was the only addition they made.
Whit.
And that didn't work out.
No,
last year, I give them credit for the Lizardo move. That was an excellent one. But other than that, they kind of kept the offense exactly the way it was, and it wasn't good enough. I don't know how many more years they have to do the same thing before they say, we have to change it up. And you could say, Joe, they're changing up. Garcia is different than Castellanos. Sure. He's a similar offensive player. More power, but similar. Swings and misses a lot. Doesn't have a great on base. Better defender. I'm good with that. It's a fine one-year deal. But last year, they did the one-year deal with Max Kepler, and they were like, we'll make him better. He'll bounce back. No, he didn't. He was the Max Kepler he was the last few years for the Twins. I don't expect Garcia to bounce back to where he was a few years ago. And Hugh, the Crawford thing is interesting because I think a lot of people want him to play, and he's an exciting young player, but are we in the process of developing young players, or are we trying to win a World Series? Because I'll tell you what, right now, and the Phillies told us this last year, right now, Harrison Bader is a better player than Justin Crawford. Because last year they had a chance to bring Crawford up, and they didn't do it. They traded for Harrison Bader, and now, a few months later, they basically did a press conference yesterday saying goodbye to Harrison Bader and anointing Justin Crawford. I'm just failing to understand what the objective is here. Is it a transition year, or are we trying to win the World Series?
You know what? It's interesting that you say it like that. I think that when you talk about the Crawford move, that's more of an infusion of youth.
Yep.
I was about to say of a youngster, but youth, same thing. It's an infusion of youth and trying to give him an opportunity.
Mm.
But again, you ask the question, who is coming in after him, or who's going to back him up? I think Bader might still be in play, maybe.
I don't, and not after what I heard yesterday.
Jackie Baseball. Mixed messages coming out of CBP. That's all I'm going to say. Can't wait to get into it today. Holla at you, boy.
I was told that they're done. Dave was done. He's not cooking. And then you know what he said today after he signed Brad Keller?
What?
Is that what y'all wanted to see?
Yes.
That's what you, it was a Jalen moment, baby.
You know, they're already on Broad Street with the parade for their middle reliever.
I'm begging people to learn Brad Keller
all
ball.
Right. Shut up.
Nasty.
That is a 4:30 High Hopes Jackie Baseball report.
Or 6:45.
Yeah, or 6:45. It's a big show. It's a Wednesday. They're always big shows. Donovan McNabb actually joins us at 3 today.
Okay,
he was traveling on Monday, so we'll have Donovan at 3, Flyers and 50 at 3:30 with Broads, Baldy at 4, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings at 4:30. We'll have to recap Hard Knocks from last night. But, like, we do have to start with the Phils. And what a blessing it is to start with the Phils in December. It must mean something great is happening.
They did sign Brad Keller.
Yeah, so it's amazing. Yesterday, when Dave Dombrowski spoke and we asked Jack to get the relevant sound, there was a little bit of relevant sound that we did not hear. Here is what Dave Dombrowski said about, you know, where the roster stands and where it may stand where they start when they start the season in April.
Anything else you look at? Bullpen rotation? I mean, what else do you look at?
Well, I think you're always to get better, but I don't have a real big need. I guess we'd look for, you know, arms in the bullpen, but we're also, you know, we've got 5 solid guys out there that are a veteran status. And so sometimes you have to give some young guys an opportunity too. We think that we have some guys that we like. So, you know, that's really where it stands. And maybe, you know, depth at different positions, we're dealing with that. But I think as far as our everyday positional players, other than catcher, we're pretty well set.
Pretty well set. So what the Phillies are telling you quite clearly with this offseason is that winning a World Series for the 2026 Phillies is not the most important thing to the organization. I think they could win the World Series, right? But it is not the most important thing to the Phillies to win the World Series. It simply can't be. If you're saying that you were a good team last year, which they were, but not good enough, which they weren't, the goal should be to get better. And they're not getting better in any meaningful way. Their goal, the Phillies' goal, is not to win a World Series in 2026, is to give everyone a good team, the players they sort of like as they go through the summer, and if it ends in October when it has over the last couple of years, then you know what? The Eagles will be playing and nobody will be that mad anyway. That is what giving Kyle Schwarber 5 years, $150 million will be, and that's about it. You'll get JT Realmuto, and that's about it. How are they going to be better than they were last year, as the Dodgers are out there trying to get better? One of the best teams we've seen is out there trying to get better. Trey Turner basically had a career year last year, so he's not going to be better next year. Kyle Schwarber had a career year last year. He's not going to be better. Christopher Sanchez had a career year last year. He's not going to be better, right? Jesus Luzardo had a career year last year. He's not going to be better. And they're all getting older, and their decision to get better this year was to get rid of one 32-year-old right fielder who struck out 175 times a year and get a different right fielder who's going to strike out 175 times a year, get a young player who we all want to see, and put him in center field, a position that he has not played particularly well, and have, once again, a platoon in left field. So who knows what? I just don't. Is that enough for everyone? I just wonder with baseball, Ike, you've said this a few times. It's just like, we just want to see the players we like and have a good team as we sort of drift through the summer. It's not enough for me. I want them to win a World Series. I don't want this to be an era that we look back on and say, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, what happened? And the final thing is that I'll remind the Phillies and everyone else, just having players you like that are good does not guarantee a full Citizens Bank Park. It doesn't. We've had plenty of years where we had players that we liked, whether it's Jim Thome or whether it's Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Brian Howard. When the team's not good, that building doesn't just fill up because we like Kyle Schwarber and we like Bryce Harper. It's just, it hit me that is not their number one priority. And I thought their number one priority over the last 2 or 3 years was to win the World Series that year. And that is not what the priority for the 2026 Phillies is.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go that far. I understand right now it looks like they're running it back with the exception of a few minor tweaks. Will those tweaks be enough? Here's what I think. I look back at the Phillies over the last 2 or 3 years, not just looking at the Phillies, but looking at Who won last year? Dodgers?
Dodgers.
Back-to-back for the Dodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, back-to-back for the Dodgers. Now, when trying to compare yourself to those guys, that roster is so out of the ordinary, it's almost unfair to any other team to try to measure themselves up to the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
So the way I look at it is, what the Phillies need ultimately is for their star players to come through in October. I don't know if they were going to sign someone significant enough with bringing Kyle Schwarber back to where that guy is going to get the at-bat that you want in the postseason that's going to get the key hit. We've had our top paid guys up in those moments, and they haven't come through. It's not as if, well, we've been up in these key moments and the bottom of the lineup or has come up, and that's not good enough to win. So now we need to go find guys that who hit in the sixth, seventh, or eighth hole can win games for us. No, our top guys need to come through. I always look at the bottom half of the lineup, and your role players are guys are there to really get you through the regular season so you don't put as much pressure on your star guys. Your star guys are supposed to come up in the postseason. This is a baseball team that won 96 games last year. One game away from winning the most games in the entire major leagues last year. What do? You're just going to change the roster when you've been successful? And they've done that, by the way. I know you talked about the career seasons from those other guys.
Yeah.
And I agree. But they also didn't have Zach Wheeler for a large portion of the season. They didn't have their closer for a large portion of the season, so they went out and traded for the closer that they eventually wound up with in Duran. They didn't have Bryce Harper for about a month. They didn't have Alec Boehm for about a month. Like they missed a lot of time with a lot of key players and still came up with the second most wins in baseball. How much of the roster do we really want to change?
Well, but I guess my question is, are we really confident that Bryce Harper's not going to miss a month this year? Of course not. We're not confident he's not going to miss a month. He's
sure.
Missed time
almost,
every year he's been here.
He's going to miss 20, 25 games.
Yeah, I agree.
I only need him to play 135, 140.
I agree with you on the star players need to come through. But my concern is that if you then don't double down on Kyle Schwarber. Then do something different, because I just see a roster full of 32-year-olds mm-hmm. and 33-year-olds who are probably, even if they're not past their prime, man, it is the very last step of their prime.
Sure.
You know, and we doubled down on it. Trey's here for another 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper's here for another 6 years. We just signed up for Kyle Schwarber for another 5 years.
This window stays open for another 3 years.
I just say, like, if you're going to rebuild and retool and take a step back, then fine, but then don't go spend $150 million on Kyle Schwarber. Find a way to not just bury yourself for the next half decade.
Oh, but they didn't rebuild.
I know, but they didn't
run it back.
But they didn't get better. They're worse. I guess just I don't
they're
see.
They're worse.
It. Yes.
Nah.
Of course they're going to be worse. Like, how could they be better?
Well, I mean, from a result standpoint, I don't know if they're going to win more than 96 games.
From an individual player standpoint, they're all on the decline. I mean, Kyle Schwarber is on the decline. Bryce Harper is probably on the decline.
But
you know, like
how big of that drop of a decline? If you gradually decline, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're saying
you can gradually decline and still be productive. These aren't guys that were fringe players. When you're a star player, like if Kyle Schwarber goes from 56 home runs to 46 home runs, are we gonna be upset about that?
Well, then I guess my point is, if you're gonna build a team full of aging stars, the high paid aging stars to win right now, then go double down on it. Then go spend money on an outfield or two. Then go sign Alex Bregman for third base. Then go trade for Stephen Kwan. Like if you've decided that what this year is about is about doubling down on those stars, then double down on them. Don't half-ass it. Don't put a rookie in center field who doesn't play center field that well. You know, don't replace your right fielder with a nice, fine player or whatever. Go replace a right fielder with a real right fielder. Do something that doubles down on these guys.
What is all that cost?
I don't care anymore.
Well, I mean, they brought back Schwarber, so you got to take that into consideration.
Sure, yes, but that again.
If they didn't bring back Schwarber, then they have more money to spend on those type of players.
Yes, but they
I would rather
plenty
have Schwarber.
Of money.
There's not a player that I would rather have on the team than Kyle Schwarber. unless it's a young 27-year-old, 26-year-old guy who's going to bring me power and we're going to have him here. I don't know if that guy exists for us out there. Where's that guy at?
Well, I mean, there were two 29-year-olds right fielders who were on the market that he could have signed in Kyle Tucker and Cody Bellinger. They're both there. They both hit 30 home runs. They both play, Bellinger plays a good right field. Mm-hmm. Tucker's okay. They're both 29 years old, and you could have signed both those guys and would have made them a better baseball team.
What would it have cost?
Well, Bellinger, $200 million, and then Kyle Tucker, I don't know, $350
Yeah, we're not, yeah. Well, they got Schwarber for $150
Well, for 5 years. Maybe, yeah. Kyle Tucker's 8 years or 9 years. Like, I don't know. It's just, this reeks of keep the fans happy with Schwarber and roll the same thing out there. And I just, like, if you're going to spend money on Kyle Schwarber, then double down and give me a team that I feel like really has a chance to compete this year. And if you're not going to do that, then don't sign Schwarber. Then start building for the future. Then don't put yourself in a bad position for the next few years.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. I'm not saying you're completely wrong, but what I'm doing is I'm looking at this thing from the Philly standpoint.
Yep.
And they are removed 2 months from that ill feeling of losing to the Dodgers, who, by the way, they outscored in the overall series in 4 games.
Thank you for pointing that out.
They played them better than anybody else did.
Hang a banner.
I'm just saying.
Well, the Blue Jays did take them seven.
So, yes. Can't forget about that. Yes, they actually,
Seven and extra innings.
They actually beat them three times. Yes.
We won one game. Let's relax.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you. I agree with you on that one. I got ahead of myself. Yeah. But I'm saying, I look at this team, and I'm wondering if they feel like, again, other than the Dodgers, who has separated themselves, particularly in the National League. It's hard for them to put a roster together where they can absolutely say, we can go beat the Dodgers. They can sign Cal Tucker, or they can sign Bellinger, and they can still lose to the Dodgers.
Of course. So, yes.
From their standpoint, how much can they actually change that's going to make them better than the Dodgers? They still are one of the better teams in the National League. Is there another team in the National League, would you say, is clearly better than the Phillies?
No.
I'm just asking. I don't know. Other than the Dodgers.
No.
Padres are probably selling off some pieces, so they'll take a step back.
Yeah.
Braves should have a bounce back
year. What do you think Milwaukee does this year?
But similar year.
Yeah. Okay.
Same thing. Hawks. I told you. 2015 Hawks every year. Every year.
Well, then what are we?
We're a very good team.
And by the way.
Well, they're a very good team, too.
I agree.
By the way.
But they're not stars.
Had we finished the season off correctly and got the seed that we needed, which would have been the number one seed.
Yes.
Then maybe we avoid the Dodgers.
Well, yeah.
And Milwaukee plays them in that round.
Yeah.
They beat Milwaukee. We get to the NLCS, still lose to the Dodgers.
Correct.
And everybody feels different.
Bang.
Yes. That's the plan.
The woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah. Only lost in the NLCS.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's get to the Phil's new reliever, as Rhea featured there in the update. So his name is Brad Keller. Pitched for the Cubs this past year, pitched very well. Now, I feel a little skeptical on the way in here because, you know, I look at the career stats and they're not very good. But 2 years ago, he was moved to a reliever. And while he struggled as a reliever in year one, he excelled as a reliever in year two. So, Seltzer, what are we to make of this guy? 2 years, $22 million. He's going to be leaned on. You know, this is sort of like you get Romano, although hopefully he's better than Romano.
Well, he's a starter. So you know the guy can go multiple innings, all that kind of stuff. He's good. He's really talented. Yeah, he's talented. Look, this happens all. Every single reliever is a failed starter at some point. Whether they failed in high school, whether they failed in college, whether they failed in the minors, or whether they failed in the majors, every single reliever was a starter at some point. So that doesn't bother me that much that he failed as a starter and became a reliever. He's got stuff, man. I mean, you look at all the underlying numbers for him. I mean, he has one of the best fastballs in the sport last year. Like basically above average in every area you're looking for from a reliever in his last season. Obviously, it is one season of greatness. So you know, to your point, you have to be a little leery of it. But I think this guy could just be one of those guys who got moved to the bullpen, and that's where he always should have been.
Which is what Ryan Madsen was.
Absolutely. Every reliever, yes. Yeah. But Madsen started, you know, tried to start.
Yeah, he's a good example. I mean, Rhea, when I see an ERA last year at 2.07.
Over 68, you know,
yeah. But then I look at the prior 4 years, some of which, most of which starter. Were him as a starter, some as a reliever. Prior 4 years, 5.39 ERA, 5.09, 4.57, 5.44.
But again, I mean, he switched over and his velocity is up because he's going shorter innings. So, and they need that is something they desperately needed because, you know, getting to Duran last year was a problem.
Yeah, well, it sure was. Yeah. There's no question about that. Look, you know, they got lefties. I mean, you got the three lefties in the bullpen. You got Duran on the back end. What you were looking for was another righty, essentially to replace Romano, basically.
Well,
no, I mean,
he wasn't going to take much.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like Romano really hurt them last year.
Oh, it was huge.
Because he stunk. Yeah. I mean, Romano's stinking and Alvarado doing what he did.
With him being back,
really
mean,
hurt the
they
season.
Could have a very strong bullpen.
Yeah. All right. So look, 215-592-9494. So we'll ask you your assessment of this guy. Big picture, Philly's assessment. Devin, what'd you make of what Dombrowski said 2 days ago, which was basically like, we're pretty much close and done?
Yeah, I mean, I like this Keller move because I do think that they needed to beef up the bullpen, especially when it came to righties, but did not like what he said about the outfield. Part of me is hopeful that maybe he's kind of using it as a negotiation tactic because Bader's camp is asking for too many years or too much money or both. And we know that Harrison Bader wants to come back to Philadelphia. So could be something in that. But I don't love the idea of throwing out a kid who hasn't played in the big leagues when you had every opportunity to try him out last year when, you know, the stakes weren't as high and you're not relying on him to be like the sole everyday center fielder. And instead just saying, like, yeah, we're going to throw him out there, you know, this season and think that it's going to improve the outfield. I just don't like that. And then continuing to platoon Brandon Marsh. And then he mentioned Johan Rojas. Like, what are we doing here?
Rojas's name should not have been said.
What are we doing here?
That was
when you have someone who wants to come back, just sign him. There's no salary cap. Just go for it. I think the energy, John, I heard your comments. I totally agree. I think the energy and, like, that's the biggest thing for me is going to be missed if they miss that opportunity to sign Harrison Bader.
Let's get to the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball, Fritz.
Yes, Jackie Baseball.
What do we got, Fritz?
I know we talked about it in the open.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Tarek Skubal added to the World Baseball Classic roster to go along with Skeensy. So the top of the rotation is now Paul Skeens and Tarek Skubal.
That's pretty good.
Are we good enough?
Yeah.
All right.
They were in the championship last year, and that fraud Trout, or 2 years ago, that fraud Trout struck out against Ohtani.
Yeah, well,
that's cinema. I mean, that is pure cinema. This is going to be awesome. Mason Miller's on the team now. David Bednar is added to it. We're going to be a problem.
I'm a big Bednar side.
I only
Bednar
care
head, you know
if we
that.
Got Phillies on the roster.
Schwarber's on it.
And maybe Bryce.
And Bryce is probably going to be the first baseman.
All right. Well, I'm in.
So we're in. We're in. All right.
None of our pitchers, huh?
We don't need them. I actually don't want any of them
right, yeah,
on
I'm
the
yeah,
on the
right.
team.
Well, in the U.S. team, I don't think they don't want Nola. You know,
no.
My guess would be no.
There's no time for innings eaters in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Wheeler's obviously coming back from injury,
right.
So they don't they don't need any of our guys. So interesting report from Jeff Passan this morning. He wrote in his like updated mid-winter column, the best available left-handed reliever is Matt Schramm, who is likely to be traded from Philadelphia.
Thank God. Get him and his baseball cards out of here. Oh, my God.
Forgot about the baseball cards.
Well, and this is what they should do, a commemorative Matt Schramm baseball card. So here's what it'll be. It'll be, and how much would the PSA 10 Matt Schramm card go that has a piece of his hair embedded on the card? And on the front, there's a picture of every other Phillies pitcher doing fielding practice during the playoffs, except for Matt Schramm, who's in the clubhouse on eBay trying to find baseball cards. Or on Twitter, tweeting at Devin or whatever. Get him out of here. Can that new guy take his place that we signed?
Brad Keller?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Brad Keller, who they signed yesterday, you want to talk about exciting. Yeah. Thrilled with Brad Keller. First off, surprised they gave a two-year, $22 million deal out for him.
Yes.
So it's not nothing. It's $11 million for a relief pitcher. He is going to take down the eighth inning. So
which is surprising to me.
Which is what?
$11 million, and we already have a closer.
Well, Strom makes 10.
He made $10 million?
And the steroid guy.
Alvarado.
Alvarado was making 8 or 9, I think.
Well, at least he was our closer before we got DeRon.
Yeah, Strom, I think, is making 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, my bad. I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
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 Go ahead, Fritz.
Yeah, so Strom is, sorry, I was looking up real quick. It's 7.5.
Oh, then I lied.
7.5.
Well,
still.
With Chuck math, that's basically 10.
We round up.
Yep.
We round up.
To 11.
To 10. So Brad Keller, I think, is going to take down the eighth inning, and he's someone who can get righties and lefties out. What's exciting about him is he's three different fastballs. So he has a 99 mile an hour fastball, 96 two-seam, 95 cut, and then he has a sweeper they developed. Brad Keller used to stink.
Yes.
Brad Keller used
for
to be
four
like...
four years, he stunk.
He used to be the most boring pitcher in baseball. He would pitch a ton of innings, but he'd be 94 and have no life. He worked on, I guess, going to the bullpen, obviously added some velocity out of nowhere. He was really good for the Cubs. I think he's an ascending arm. So it's an exciting signing, and it does make Strom... they can get rid of Strom now.
Good.
Now, it's a little surprising, obviously, because if you have Strom and they can afford Strom, having him on the team is not the worst thing in the world. But it kind of feels like they're trying to clear salary here. So
for something or to be cheap?
I think it's for something. Hmm. So I think Strom on the market for something. I think they're not really looking for a 1-1 trade, another bad contract on another team. I think it would just to clear some salary. Boehm is in that same mix to possibly clear some salary. Brandon Marsh, maybe, but not as likely because they could find a Boehm replacement with what they're clearing money for.
So you mentioned money. There was an article on ESPN where they gave the new projections for the top 10 free agents, and almost all of them went up. Bo Bichette went up. Alex Bregman went up. Bellinger went up. You know, Kyle Tucker. Do you believe that, or
I don't?
Okay,
I don't. Right. I don't believe that about Bregman or Bichette.
Okay,
yeah. Right. So,
how do you clear money by getting rid of Strom? Well, you added $11 million.
No, rather than having both, he's saying rather than having both. Yeah,
okay,
yeah. So Strom seems like he's going to be out of here for I think a catching prospect, and then maybe Boehm, and then that's how they would possibly get into the Bichette or Bregman conversation.
Which one would you prefer?
Bichette.
I would prefer Bregman. I know Bichette's
older and he's hurt.
Four years younger.
Bichette.
I just think
why would you want that?
Because I love because Breggy's
now will Bichette.
Breggy's.
We got enough older guys.
Yeah, but
Breggy's
Breggy.
Will Bichette play third? Because it said he's a shortstop.
He's willing
to play
second.
I've never read anything about him being willing to play third.
Wow, Bichette at second? Can you imagine the infield with Boehm? Harper.
Stop it. Well, you trade stock, keep Boehm.
Yeah,
you have Bichette at second.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want to double down on defense and get rid of Stott and keep friggin' whatever he is over on third base.
The long term
average defender.
He's fine.
The long-term answer is Bichette. Yeah. My heart is with Breggy.
Okay.
I'm ready to get pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Bichette?
Every time you say that, I get uncomfortable.
What's his power like?
Bichette, he's like a 20 homer guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. He had a weird year 2 years ago where he just hit like 224, but for the majority of his career, he's been a 200 hitter. Like you can slot him at
300 hitter.
Sorry, a 200 hit guy. Yeah.
200 hit guy.
I mean,
there you go.
Him batting second.
Yep.
I mean, then you go Turner, him, Harper, right. Schwarber.
Yeah.
Adolis?
That's fine. Hit fifth? I'll take it fifth.
Where is Schwarber hitting?
Well, he can hit four.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, but you give him $150 million, he can hit ninth if they want him to.
So let's get to this Matt Strom story. This is interesting. So report, Rhea, this was from what, Jeff Passan?
Jeff Passan, yes, ESPN. He does a notebook, his winter notebook, and he kind of like threw it in at the end of a paragraph.
So we had heard a report about a month ago that there was a likelihood of the Phillies trading one of their three lefties. And, of course, the three lefties, prime lefties, are Strom, who's been their best over the last couple years, Alvarado, who's been their best over the last 5 years, whatever, 4 years, whatever it would be, and Tanner Banks, who I guess was, James, would you call him the second best last year behind Strom?
Pretty close, though, right? I mean, close. He was. I trusted him about as much as I trusted Strom at the end of the season.
Yeah, Banks had a nice year. So when we heard that report, it's like, huh, interesting. And I wondered, okay, is that to dump Alvarado because they're annoyed at him? Like, they pick up the option, the $9 million option, but maybe they're annoyed at him from last year and they want to dump him. Well, then you start getting reports they're not thrilled with Strom. And then you connect the dots back to what Dombrowski. Let's go to this audio of what Dombrowski said at his season-ending press conference. If you remember, Strom had made a point after the Phillies lost and Kirk Green, you know, the whole disaster going to home plate. And Strom made a point to say, I wish we had done. Devin, were you there for that? Well, I guess not because it was on the road in L.A., right?
Yeah, I wasn't there when Strom made those comments. I was there when Dave Dombrowski kind of shot back.
So the nature of the comment was basically, I wish we had done fielding practice during the playoffs.
PFP, yes. Yeah, like the fundamental, you know.
Pitcher stuff.
Yes.
And infield stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So a couple days after those comments were made and the Phillies had lost and everybody's in a bad mood, Dave Dombrowski, long press conference, covers a lot of ground, and seemingly out of nowhere takes a shot at Strom, and it now makes more sense if they don't like Strom or don't want Strom. Listen to this moment going back about a month and a half ago with Dombrowski.
Dave, were you troubled by Matt Strom's insinuation or comment that the team didn't do enough PFP during the season?
Well, I think he said the postseason, didn't he? I think he's. Well, I think that's what he said.
Season.
In the season?
Yeah.
Well, we did plenty, and actually, as it turns out, we did do PFPs in the postseason. He didn't do them. Okay? But we did them.
The emphasis right there. He!
Well,
didn't
and
do
also
that.
with what he was doing, going back and forth with the reporters, I think he was setting up the moment. I think he was trying to get it, you know, at postseason only. But but regardless, he still delivered his Mike Tyson uppercut.
Oh, Strom was done at that moment.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If they do jettison Strom, other guys, like, you need Banks to do it again.
You need Alvarado to come back good.
Yeah, and be clean.
Yeah, and guess what? You need another lefty, too.
Because, frankly, other than Duran for 2 months this year, the reality is the best relievers the Phillies have had over the last 2 to 3 years, and Hoffman wasn't here last season, but have been Hoffman and Strom.
Without a doubt.
And, like, you know, Hoffman's not here anymore, and you might be about to trade Strom. So, and by the way, you better get something good for him. Now, look, could that be a third baseman? Maybe. Guys, Matt Strom has, what is it, the second lowest ERA of all left-handed pitchers in the last, is it 2 or 3 years, James?
Yeah, I believe so. He's like, only got one more year left on his deal.
He's good.
It's a fair price.
Yeah, $7 million or something.
So, James, can they get a starting third baseman for Matt Strom?
I don't think so.
Can they get a starting second baseman?
I don't think you're getting a starting field. I mean, I don't think you're getting a starter you want. Like,
it would require more.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point then?
Offload that money.
Yeah, but
you could take on a salary. Devin's right.
Is
you could
he not liked?
Clearly, he's not liked. Yeah, I think
I'll take a flyer on that.
I mean, you heard Dave. When did Dave Dombrowski talk about that? Like anybody, even the Bryce Harper stuff, which was the biggest, whatever of the press conference. Like, he still was somewhat fair with what he was saying. Like Strom is just like, all right, loser, you want to talk about us, pal? Like he went after him, man.
When it comes to Matt Strom, and this is just from my observations from being around the team and in the clubhouse, I know Matt Strom was really close with. I mean, I think he was liked. It's not these guys are all like they're grown men. Like it's not like they're being catty in there. But
baseball players can be ornery.
And they spend so much time together, and with the Nick Castellanos stuff and, you know, what went down in Miami and his issues and his being outspoken kind of just with the whole everything where he was unhappy. I know Matt Strom and Nick Castellanos were pretty close, so I don't know if maybe they view it as kind of just
two
like
for
a,
one.
Let's get a fresh start here. Right. Let's get a fresh start, kind of get this bad juju out.
The irony is one guy has stunk, Castellanos. The other guy, Strom, generally has been good. I didn't trust him down the stretch.
I didn't trust him at all.
Yeah.
When I remember James read that stat, the second lowest ERA, I'm like, there's no way.
Right. But I guess part of my point is Kirkren's still here, and I don't trust him. So you don't want Kirkren to have to become like the third or fourth guy or the second guy because you trade away your top guy or, you know. Anyway.
Hey,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.